You could use a few of those right now.
Yeah.
Charlie Morton started off really bad.
God, he was awful.
Awful. But like his last 7 or 8 weeks.
The Orioles lost the first 12 games he appeared in, let alone started, just showed up and they lost every single game.
But I saw his latest, like his last 6 or 7 appearances have been really good. His curveball has been nasty.
Yeah, it's getting back. I mean, he's getting back to being old Uncle Charlie.
Yep.
Lloyd Howell, who is the NFLPA executive director. Well, he's no longer. He resigned last night, very late last night, during an embattled 2-year tenure as leader of the union. The latest, have you seen all this? He was sort of colluding with the owners. He's part of this equity firm that wants to purchase an NFL team. They asked him to step down. He said no. The whole thing just became a mess.
Let me tell you what he decided yesterday. He goes, you know what? After seeing this Coldplay stuff, it'd be a great day for me to step aside. It made no news.
No news,
it made zero news.
It was a good day to have a news dump when nothing else was going on.
Yeah,
but, yeah, so now, look, the NFL CBA is up in 2029. So they got 3 years left.
And is that like a priority? Is that they work that far ahead?
Well, look, as the NFL continues to negotiate what they want eventually to be an 18-game season.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to get it until the next CBA. But for the players, you kind of need that union head to be laying the groundwork for now of if that's going to go down the road, here's what we want, here's what we expect to try to get everything done before you have a lockout again like you did in 2010. So it kind of, you know, is a little bit important to have this guy, you know, in place. So we'll see what they do as far as a replacement for him. The British Open. The Open over at Portish in Northern Ireland.
Two Georgia Bulldogs right now. Brian Harman, 7-under, and Harris English, 6-under.
Harris English went to Georgia?
Yes, sir. Go Dogs.
Look at that. Brian Harman, leader at 7-under. Rasmus, this guy's from Sweden or Norway. Haggard, I think that is.
Yeah.
Robert McIntyre, Tyrrell Hatton, and Harris English, all 2 strokes back at 5-under. Tony Finau at 4-under. Let me just give you some other.
He just hit it.
Bradley.
He just went back. He had back-to-back bogeys. Now he's had another birdie. Now he's back to 4-under.
Back to 4-under.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll keep you updated on the Open as it goes on.
Did just you watch that yesterday? Did you
watch?
The weather was god-awful.
I mean, it really
was miserable. Everybody in jackets, raining, cold.
That's what you get.
Today, Northern Ireland, it looks nice.
T.J. Watt agrees to a 3-year, $123 million extension, which makes him the highest non-paid quarterback in NFL history.
$41 million.
Again. Yeah. Listen, I always knew this deal was going to get done. Give the Steelers credit. You know what? This isn't a 6 or 7 year deal.
3 year.
It's a 3 year
deal.
3 year deal,
yeah.
Like, I don't know why. I get the set. They want the ability to kick cap money down the road.
Yeah.
So they make these deals longer.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to just give the really good guys, keep them on short-term deals.
Yeah.
Other than your non-quarterbacks, keep them on short-term deals. I think it's really, really smart business the way you handle it that way. Other news in the NBA, Dame Lillard returning to the Portland Trailblazers after
he is signing up to go back there.
Well, again, he's going to not play this whole coming year.
Yeah.
But he's going to sign up to go back there. He's got a 3-year, $42 million contract. Portland's putting together a nice roster. I will say that much. Again, they got Miles Turner. So
quality of life in Portland. What do you think?
Never been. I've now been to 31 states.
Small market.
Never been
media,
to Oregon.
Like, that's a long way, man. That's a long way away.
But yeah, it is. So. I always like the homecoming stories. They're always nice. Doesn't mean that they're always good.
Yep.
Browns rookies reporting to camp today. That means we are this close.
Dude, how much Shedeur Sanders content is about to be put? The minute he walks out there and throws the first ball he throws.
It'll be easy for me to ignore it. I mean, it really will.
Well, you're not. It's going to be everywhere.
Well, I know it is, but go play. But when he starts playing good football and we start talking about that, then I'll get involved in the conversation. But I don't necessarily know.
They got a running back currently in jail, Quinshon Judkins, who you drafted to replace Nick Chubb.
I mean, so it's funny because like we you know it's list season in sports talk radio.
Yeah.
So ESPN, we did. You know, they're doing all their NFL rank'em series, and I was on a show and they asked me for top 5 rookies, and I had Quinshon Judkins.
Oh, he's a baller.
at number two.
Yeah.
Because based off of, like, you look down the rest of that roster in Cleveland, you don't know the names of any other running back on that roster. He was the dude.
Yeah, dude.
He was Kevin Stefanski's dude.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to explain.
Too much off time.
You're around college athletes more than I am.
Oh, yeah.
I know I did dumb things in college. Look, I know I did dumb things after college. Okay?
Yeah.
But there's a difference between dumb things and committing alleged sexual assault. Like, what? Why? How?
I get it, man. I have covered athletes that I have known that have personally.
You haven't taken a snap in an NFL uniform yet.
Everything's in front of you. Everything you've worked for up until this moment is right in front of you.
Yes.
Yeah.
How hard he had, him in particular.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
To work his way up to get to Ole Miss.
Single mom.
Right? And then get to Ohio State and be part of a national championship team.
Yeah.
These are Disney movies
dude.
That your life is that you just flushed down the crapper. Oof. Like that guy at the Coldplay concert.
What do you think the company, what do you think the break room yesterday at 9:15 was?
Man, nobody worked an ounce yesterday at that company.
Oh my God. Could you imagine the company wide, the text, you didn't want to send anything email, but the company text threads were popping.
Nope. I mean,
you know who
didn't show up to work yesterday? The two of them.
No. You know who didn't show up yesterday? The third girl that was with them.
Oh yeah. The girl who was embarrassed, who knew everything that was going on behind the scenes.
She covered her eyes too.
Yep.
You ever heard that saying, see what had happened was?
I mean, man, you just.
I tell you what, social media, one of the best tweets yesterday was of all of the in the world, it took Coldplay to get us all back together.
It was that.
It was Coldplay.
It was absolutely that. continuing on here, Chiefs Rashee Rice sentenced to 30 days of jail time for his role in a multi-car crash last year. He's got 5 years of probation. This isn't the end of the punishment for Rashee Rice. After 30 days in the clink, the NFL is still going to suspend him.
Yeah.
I probably think my guess would be
7-8 games.
My guess would be 8 reduced to 6.
Gotcha.
8 appealed down to 6.
Gotcha.
I mean, you know, at this point, the NFL has no. I think their tolerance for this sort of BS, considering where we are and what they've been through in the last decade, is next to zero, which they should start just throwing the book at everybody as much as possible. You know, it's crazy. So Rashee Rice is lucky he's not dead or injured or never able to play football again.
Yeah, man.
He should shut up and take the suspension and just come back up.
Count your blessings.
All right, finally, WNBA All-Star Weekend coming up.
Oh, boy.
In Indianapolis.
It's all about taking an L.
Yeah, oh, my God. Caitlin Clark not going to be there, obviously.
This is basically having it 1989 in Chicago and Jordan not being able to be in it. The slam dunk or the All-Star game. That's exactly what happened.
Was he hurt then?
This would be equivalent.
Oh, the equivalent of that. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they couldn't ask for a better situation. Think about all the people that bought tickets and plane ride and flights to come around, and it happened.
I mean, it's crazy. Listen,
for the game.
It does, and this is not the WNBA's fault because somebody injured.
Yeah.
However, the more of a light that continually gets shown on that league, the more you can tell it's being run by freaking amateurs.
Oh yeah,
it is a poorly run league.
They've never made a dime.
No, and that's the point.
Ever.
And the point is now they have all the spotlight on them, and things keep getting brought to their attention. And they keep screwing it up. They had Caitlin Clark playing in a game at noon on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
No, I get it was camp day. They invite kids from camp out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do that with any other team. You don't do it with basically the country's second biggest star behind LeBron James.
You know when you do camp day?
Caitlin Clark might be the second biggest star in America.
You do camp day on preseason day.
Yep.
Preseason day.
Yep. You don't need to do it now. It's amateur hour. It's childish stuff the way the league is run. It's actually frustrating to watch because they have the goose that laid the golden egg sitting right there for them, and they continually botch it.
Yeah.
And I will say this much. As somebody who never consumed a WNBA, who has now started to consume it.
Me too.
Because of Caitlin Clark.
Me too.
And
other
is
teams.
Great.
And other teams, yeah.
The game itself it's a better game in the NBA than a Duck and Chuck 3 that I watch.
Yep.
Like, if you're into ball movement.
You have people posting up.
Yes. If you're in a ball movement.
There's a 4 and a 5 in the NBA.
I mean, it's just a completely different game, And it's so worth it to watch. And the league can't figure out how to shine the light on the game itself. They have all this other crap going on. They can't get out of their own way. It's very, very...
Playing in arenas.
Yeah.
Chartered flights. Just understand what you got.
They
got
to get right and get right fast.
Yep.
Speaking of getting right, the Braves have to do that next. Should they change course and sell at the end of this month? We'll discuss that next. Mark Zeno for Steak Shapiro alongside Rusty Mansell. It's a Steakhouse on Sports Radio, 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com, and the Odyssey app. It is a Steakhouse here on Sports Radio, 929 The Game. Mark Zeno for Steak Shapiro alongside Rusty Mansell. We're going to get Rusty Rocks coming up here. 10 o'clock. I always enjoy Rusty Rocks. Somehow I think today it's a little bit easier to figure out than others, but to keep you guys in waited with bated breath here.
Kind of a yellow tint to it today.
Yeah, we got buy or sell coming up later on. Of course, we're going to do tailgate. We'll get SEC Media Days wrap up. We also have some tickets to give away.
Yeah,
These are Beatles tickets? What tickets? Beatles?
This little...
It's
a little band on the
maybe
line.
The last remaining.
Paul McCartney?
One of them.
So Paul McCartney is having a concert? I mean, the Open is going on. All right, so we're giving away Paul McCartney tickets. Callers 5 and 6, does that work? 404-726-0929. If you'd like to go see Sir Paul McCartney, where is he playing, Bo?
It's going to be State Farm Arena.
Really?
Yeah.
Paul McCartney's still selling out arenas?
I wonder if he's going to go on a three-year retirement tour like Elton John. Elton John's still on his retirement tour.
I mean, I know Billy Joel had a residency at Madison Square Garden for 15 years, but Paul McCartney's still selling out arenas?
Dude, yeah, he's still. But I tell you this, you know that everybody that wants to go see him would still go at 4 o'clock. The 4 o'clock crowd would be great there.
Yeah,
beat traffic, be there by 2:30.
Yep, there you go.
He didn't have to go on at 9:30.
404-726-0929, calls 5 and 6. We'll get some Paul McCartney tickets. All right, we have a bunch to get to here as well, including this hour of the program brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash, Atlanta's number one rated pressure washing company.
Yeah, man.
And let's get to the Braves here. It has been a tough go of things. Look. It's fair to say at this point this is not a good team. It's not a necessarily well-constructed team. I felt coming into the year, Rusty, and I said this repeatedly, they had a ton of what-ifs. And I think it's a bad place to be entering a season with a lot of what-ifs. As in, what if, you know, Ronald Acuna returns to form? What if Spencer Strider returns to form? What if Matt Olson is able to, you know, do what he did 2 years ago? Ozzie Albies goes back to being a 300 hitter?
Didn't happen.
What if Michael Harris learns how to hit a baseball again?
5 of those 6 didn't happen.
You know, what if the young arms can repeat AJ Smith-Schauer and Schwellenbach, you know, repeat and don't have sophomore slumps? What if the bullpen gets fixed? What if we find a closer? Like, all these what-ifs, you know, when you have that many, most of them are no.
Well, Acuna was the only one.
The only one, yeah.
Checks. Yeah. It's been that way. Here, let me give you a couple stats on that. So I was like, you know what, I'm the ultimate Braves. I'm still, you know, I'm not believing, but I want to have at least something to look at. What is the largest comeback ever after the Major League All-Star Game? It was the 73 Mets.
I was going to say the 78 Yankees in 14.5 games.
73 Mets were 12.5 behind. They were 42-51. They went on to lose Game 7 of the World Series to the A's. The 2012 A's were actually 9.5 back. So if you want to look at recent. So the Mets were 42-51 in 1973. The Braves are 42-53. They're 12.5 back as well.
Yeah, hold on. You're leaving the 78 Yankees out. They were 14 back in mid-July.
Did they win? Well,
and they came back and won the World Series.
I looked it up this morning and said that was the biggest comeback ever.
Maybe the National League.
I think it's your ChatGPT over there with your Yankees.
No, it's not. I'm telling you.
Yankees.
My father told me a lot about it as a kid.
So,
by the way, going to the game tonight.
But – yeah, I can tell you've got on a Yankee shirt, Yankees hat.
I just did that to annoy you guys. That's all.
Well, the first thing this morning, Sandra texts me. She goes, hey, give Zeno a hug. And by the way, go Yankees. I was like, oh, God, they're in town. And I got Zeno.
You got doubly screwed.
Double deal. Can you imagine the side text they had? They're like, man, Sal's going in this morning with Zeno. He has no idea, right?
In town. Yeah, almost like they texted astronomer.
How many Yankees fans will be in town tonight? I would imagine that's a great.
I think you'll realize it'll be closer to 60-40 in favor of the Braves.
Yeah.
Every other night would be, 75-25, 80-20.
Obviously, a lot of worldwide Yankee fans, but a lot of people from like New York, it's a trip for them.
Yes. It's a great weekend trip. Yeah. You get away.
Yep.
Get away from the city summer. Right? You can go hang out for a weekend down in Atlanta. Yep. Let me ask you this.
Easy flights.
I know that Alex Anthopoulos has openly said that they are not going to be selling at the deadline. Put on your GM hat. Would you change course?
According to the only two people to me that would be absolutely.
See, now you're starting to think correctly because this is the better question.
Yeah. The only two people to me that wouldn't be would be Acuna and maybe Austin Riley.
I mean, here's the problem.
Everybody else.
Here's the problem.
I'm listening to.
Here's the problem. Right now, you don't have anything really that anybody wants to offer. That the trade deadline is the purpose is to make your team better for the final 2 months of the year.
What about Ozuna?
And go to the
post. What about Ozuna? That's a bat.
That is a bat to an American League team that needs power.
Let me ask you this, and I hope it doesn't happen. But what about Chris Sale? Because you're going to get him back at the end of August.
Well, no team is going to trade for him because you don't know what he's going to be. Like you can't give away legitimate assets. You know, if the Braves are willing to get rid of him on the cheap, but they're not going to do that. You know, I mean, it's one of those things where you don't really – nobody wants Sean Murphy. Sean Murphy is a
– Oh, there'll be some people that would take him, but it'd be cheap.
But again, what team needs a starting catcher? What playoff team? What team that is going to the playoffs right now needs a starting catcher? Like, that's the thing you have to ask. Like, he's a hard trade partner. Because you're not going to pay him to DH. You're not going to bring him there because he's not hitting the ball well enough. So it's not like, they say, hey, we'll figure out a way to mesh him in there, work him in, split time. And then the other time he could DH. He's not hitting well enough. So I don't think he holds a ton of value for anybody. I mean, would you consider an Ozzie Albies trade?
Yes. Yes. Listen. I get it. He's a clubhouse guy. He gives you great effort. If I'm getting some young pitching out of him at some point, I'm taking it right now.
Yeah.
I hate to say that, but yeah, I mean, there's no question I would.
Would you consider Michael Harris being moved?
Yes, and I love Michael Harris. And I think defensively he is one of the best. He has struggled for a long – he hadn't struggled for 2 months. He struggled for a year and a half hitting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a bad sign.
Listen,
man. That's a bad sign.
It's not struggle. He can't hit.
That's a bad sign.
That's not just, at this point. It's not struggle. Okay. You're talking about somebody who can't hit major league pitching.
Listen, I love the guy. Hometown kid. He's a Georgia Bulldog, fan. All the things that checks the boxes.
Yes,
he is. He has been a. But there's zero.
There's no such thing as a season and a half long slump, Rusty.
I agree. That is bottom line. It's bottom line.
But somebody may want him for something cheap as a fourth outfielder, a defensive replacement.
There's always somebody that thinks they can fix him. It's like a
quarterback. It's not a question of fix him. I'm just talking about for a team that's in a playoff run and a stretch run that might need a platoon outfielder with speed and a glove that will help them during the playoffs.
Good dude. Not going to hurt your locker room.
I mean, when you play him, he'll bat ninth, and that's fine and everything else, but whatever he gives you offensively is a bonus, but he's there as a late-inning defensive replacement, as a pinch runner when you need a guy on the bases. Like, that's a valuable guy
for a playoff roster. He is a plus-one athlete.
Yes.
Unfortunately, you have to bat in baseball. Can't just run routes.
So, again, I don't know what the definition of selling is when they say they're not selling versus – I mean, I don't know. But let's real quick for another minute or two here. Let's flip this around. What would the Braves need? I know what they need to acquire, but what are you giving away to acquire that's going to get a 12-game gap back? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're not. You're not
right.
You can't say that publicly, but you're trying to say the idea is that
you're just standing pat. You're just going to ride this out.
Yeah, but what makes you going to be different come next March?
No, you're not. That's the point. I mean, you might be healthier.
Got to make a move or two.
Yeah, I mean, again, all the arms.
Just drafted three shortstops, which worries you about their farm system. They just drafted three shortstops. What does that tell you?
By the way, how stupid is Major League Baseball? Why would you do the draft on that Sunday night when you could have done it last night when nothing was happening?
Nothing.
You had Wednesday night and Thursday night to do the MLB draft. You had two nights to promote it at the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game. You could have promoted the hell out of it and done it in one of the emptiest nights of the year. And these dummies.
Yeah, the only thing you're going against is Coldplay.
Which was unplanned. It was completely unplanned. I mean, talk about poorly run executives. Rob Manfred is the guy going, hold my beer. Watch this. I can screw this up.
Yeah, I mean, I was sitting around last night. No kidding. Sitting around last night. Did if you know what I watched?
If the MLB draft was on, you would have just liked to see names called.
Well, you know what? The British Open was over, so I knew what was happening. No kidding. I sat around last night. I haven't watched it in years. I watched Friday Night Lights.
Really?
Yeah. It was on Netflix, pulled up. I was like, you know what? I'll watch this. Wait a minute.
You're itching. You're itching for football.
I'm itching.
You are itching for football to get back.
I'm itching. Booby Miles. I'm still pissed he got hurt with his knee.
Yeah.
I've read some of that book made from that dude. You realize, you know who they play? They played Dallas Carter. Dallas Carter was Jesse Armstead and him from Miami.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Dallas Carter was loaded. Dallas Carter was one of the most loaded teams of all time. They played them in the Astrodome. 50,000 people in that high school game.
Wow.
Can you imagine the turf on that field is like concrete?
Those old school turfs?
Old school turfs.
I played on those in high school.
Yeah, that's like it's old concrete. School turfs. Just carpet rolled over. No padding. It's not walking around this stuff now with the cool blades and all that.
That's why dudes used to pop knees all over the place on those turfs.
Crushed rubber tire. No, that's them days are. Yeah, man. That was Jesse Armstead. Yep. Played middle linebacker, Dallas Carter.
I remember turf. Remember those turf cleats back in the day?
Dude, I had some of those.
They were so comfortable.
I had those spot builds. Had the little round ones. Yeah. You wonder why our knees and backs hurt.
Exactly. And I got a litany of reasons of why that happens. All right, coming up next, we'll hit the tailgate. What SEC team, Rusty, am I going to tell everybody that's going to shock people about how good they are?
I've got one, and I took some heat this week for it.
Listen, I think you and I both are in agreement. There are some teams that will surprise in the SEC, not named Georgia, not named Texas. We'll tell you who they are next. It's the Statecast here on Sports Radio, 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to the Tailgate Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9TheGame.com, the Odyssey app. Mark Zeno in for Steak Shapiro today alongside Rusty Mansell. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game is your home of major championship golf coverage in Atlanta. The Open Championship currently underway at Royal Portrush. Your leaders still at this point in time, Georgia Bulldog Brian Harman at 8-under. That's Ha-Tong Lee at 7-under in second. Rasmus Højgaard and Tyrrell Hatton, along with Harris English, all three strokes back at 5-under. And then you got a host of people at 4-under as they are in the second round today. This update brought to you by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local fiduciary advisors, by Umberto Injury Law. When it's game time and winning is the only option, and by Georgia Hemp Company, come and check out their new locations. It is time to hit the tailgate. SEC Media Day is concluded right here in the backyard in Atlanta. And what would SEC Media Days be without Rusty Mansell? Excellent job out on the coverage there, Bubba. I mean, that was good stuff.
That's my wheelhouse.
Yeah, you think?
I mean, that's go time for me. You got a chance to see everybody. Shout out Garrett Chapman. Did a great job for 929 The Game this week, getting interviews, getting people over to the table. I don't know if you heard Randy and Andy with Kirby. And it was a good week. I think you know, there was no news is kind of good news. Obviously, the Greg McElroy, for whatever reason, last Monday, thought it was a great idea to drop right off the bat that he heard that Nick Saban was coming back to coaching in some fashion. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if he thought that wasn't going to be that big of a deal, but by about lunchtime, it was a national story. And then when Brett McMurphy from On3.com gets a hold of McElroy, he kind of backs it back a little bit. Like, well, I don't know that he's actually going to do that. That's what some people around him are thinking. And by the time we got to Tuesday morning, it was a non-story. Well, his daughter, Kristen, goes on her social media, I guess, yesterday and basically ends those rumors and going, you had my dad. He did his – he did coaching. That part is done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can understand that. All right. We told you before the break here about teams that we think will surprise some people. When I told you mine before the show, you didn't disagree. And I will tell you that I think the Oklahoma Sooners are going to shock some people this year.
Define shock.
I think they're going to be really
good.
What's
the win total on that?
I think that they're a college football playoff team.
Oh, I don't know about that. They got a quarterback.
Yeah, they do.
But I just don't know about, defensively what they are.
I think their offense can be legit.
He's a hell of a player now.
I mean, look, think of it this way, schedule-wise. They got to play Michigan week two. They get them at home, right? They get Texas at a neutral site, obviously, Red River. They get at AT&T Stadium. There are two road games, November 1st, then a bye, then November 15th at Tennessee, at Alabama, and those are week, 10 and 11 or 9 and 10?
Yeah.
So the only other road game they have in the SEC is South Carolina. And, you know, look, the other part of this
– I'm going to have to see it.
How good they will be will depend a lot on the rest of the middle of the SEC. The middle of the SEC this year, there's a lot of teams, Rusty.
There's a lot of questions.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Like when you go
up and down the SEC this year, and you when I talk about the middle teams, obviously we Texas, Georgia, LSU, Bama, they're at the top, right? Does Florida take a step back? Do they go forward again? Their schedule is murderous, the greatest schedule.
It's crazy.
It's really, really tough. Is Kentucky going to be good again? You know, Missouri expected to take a step back. Ole Miss lost a ton. What are they going to do? Tennessee lost a ton. What are they going to do? Will the Aggies sneak up on some people?
I think Texas A&M, Marcel Reed. I think when Marcel Reed was healthy, he was a problem. This is the guy that Todd Monken recruited, and right before he left, that was kind of the guy that he wanted. And Marcel Reed, I think he is a problem. And I think Texas A&M's good offensively, kind of flying under the radar, had some good pickups, got a great running back. We'll see what they do, but I kind of like Texas A&M to be really, really good.
What's South Carolina going to be?
Well, the problem with them, they're very top-heavy.
Yes.
Very top-heavy. Everybody knows about their quarterback. Everybody knows about their defensive end. They lost 17 starters. I mean, they had a great defense last year. Kyle Kennard was unbelievable last year at defensive end as well. Mm-hmm. They got a lot, but listen, when you've got a dynamic quarterback, and I saw him Tuesday or Monday. I couldn't believe how big he was in person. He's a big-ass kid, man, Lenore Sellers. He can hurt you run legs, throw into football. He's special now, but they got to replace a ton, and I mean a ton.
It's going to be very interesting to see what the middle of this conference looks like. And you mentioned A&M. They're returning 15 starters this year.
I'm telling you, man, I like A&M a lot. I like A&M a lot. They've been good two times, I think, in SEC, like really good. And both times they've been really good. It's been quarterback play and really good offensive line. They've got that.
I mean, and Florida's another school. They return, I think, 13 starters. But this schedule, my God.
It's brutal, isn't it?
LSU on the road. Miami non-conference on the road. Then they go to Texas at A&M. They get a little bit of a reprieve at Mississippi State. They got the cocktail party with Georgia. And then they go on the road at Kentucky, at Ole Miss, and finish up at home against Tennessee before Florida State. God.
Yep.
Look, if they get out of that schedule with only two losses.
Or three.
They are absolutely a college football playoff team.
Yeah.
I don't think three will get them in.
And you look at Lagway. I mean, this guy's – I mean, you're all in on this guy.
Yeah. You should be, though.
Yep.
Yep. By all accounts, right?
Yep.
If LSU – has a two-loss season. Are they in?
It's according to what games they lose.
They lose at Alabama and at Oklahoma.
But that would have them beating – they play Texas?
No. They play they host Florida. LSU does. They host A&M. And their other road games in the SEC are Vanderbilt.
They go 10-2, they're in. They're in. It might even be better.
I'm sorry, they also have Clemson in week one, too.
Yeah, that's a huge game for them.
At Clemson.
That's a huge game.
And that's not a neutral site game. That's at.
That's at the other Death Valley.
Yeah, the other Death Valley.
At night.
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, think about it. If they lose that game, and I mean, between A&M, Alabama, and Oklahoma, they can only lose one of those three.
Yeah. I'm telling you, they lose two games, they're in.
Yeah, but the question is, can they hang on? Not an easy schedule. But Kelly is, look, I think he's a phenomenal coach.
He needs to do something here. You got a quarterback back, Nussmeier. You got some guys you brought in. You got really good defensive players. I mean, it's go time there. Now, I will say this. He's got a huge buyout still. I think his buyout's like $50 million.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, today's world, NIL, you're paying players. They're not going to be in a real big hurry to make a change. Those days are over.
Auburn is on the road at Baylor for week one. That's non-conference, obviously.
That is a huge game. I heard Cole Kublik talking about Auburn fans are not taking that game serious enough.
Yeah. Baylor may surprise some people. Oklahoma and A&M back-to-back road games at the end of September. But then again, their next toughest game after Georgia. So 3 weeks in a row. This is the stretch they got to survive. At Oklahoma, at A&M, home versus Georgia. Then again, they don't really play a really tough opponent until Alabama in the final week of the season.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you, Jackson Arnold, what is going on with Auburn, with their recruiting, it's awful. I don't care what. They've had, five arrests now, I think, since April the 1st. Had another one this week. It's not great momentum for Hugh Freeze. This is his third year. Mm-hmm. They spent a lot of money on this roster.
This is the year you're supposed to pop.
They spent a lot of money on this roster. And you go out and get this quarterback, who I think is a really good player, had to stay healthy, and we'll see. And they go out and get Eric Singleton from Georgia Tech, who is one of the top free agents, quote-unquote, in the portal.
Right.
And, I mean, this is a guy that many people think one of the top two wide receiver prospects in the portal this year. They go out and pay a lot of money for him. They go pay a lot of money for Jackson Arnold. You got your guys. You got to do something with them.
By the way, you know I've been known to make an occasional wager from time to time, right?
Yep. Occasional.
You know what I already have circled? And the minute the line pops, I am going to absolutely hammer it.
What?
October 18th, when Ole Miss comes to Sanford Stadium. Georgia by a million.
I think I'll be locked up for them.
By a million. You think Kirby Smart forgot last year?
There's a lot of people that this week – they were kind of like, Ole Miss had their chance last year.
Yeah, they did.
Top three defense. Yeah, first round quarterback.
Yep.
And didn't get there. Absolutely, you know what, the bet at home against Kentucky.
Well, that was the game that cost them.
Cost them.
Yeah.
But Florida, but and coming off a bye week.
Anything under two touchdowns in that game, mortgage payment on Georgia.
They dropped a 50-point on them 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The game 2 years ago, it was like close for a quarter. I think Ole Miss actually held a 10-7 lead at one point in the first quarter.
The first two drives,
floodgates open.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Georgia was like, we've had enough of this. We're done screwing with you guys. Yeah. They play with their food for 15 minutes and it's it. You're done.
Mashing them. And you know what? It cost Ole Miss to go out and buy all those defensive linemen because they couldn't stop them. And it worked for a year. But now those guys are gone. Now, you had to go buy some, but did you buy Walter Nolan's? No.
But I'm telling you, I absolutely, when I tell you absolutely, am waiting for that line to pop up.
I can tell you this.
Georgia by a million.
Georgia has to beat Alabama the fourth game in Athens, September. They have to beat Alabama. They have got to find a way to get a win in that series.
Yeah.
They've got to find a way to win in that series. It's going to be at night. That place is going to be rocking. They've got to find a way to win.
Are they wearing the blacks?
No, Kirby would. His spring game, that's it. Yeah, Kirby was on the other side of the blackout. No, he's not. He's not doing that.
He's not? Okay.
No. You know what's funny? You all see all these pictures about these Georgia recruits, and they love these white helmets, white jerseys, and white pants. It really looks good. And I was like, we need to wear those white helmets. I was like, let me give you on a little secret, okay? Those white helmets, there was a manager that took a couple of helmets, and he took some red and black tape, and he made like three of them. And they use them for photo shoots. There's three of them. There's not 140 of them.
Right.
There's three. They're photo props. Now, they look good, but everybody's like, we need to wear those white helmets. I'm like, dude, Kirby Smart ain't wearing a white helmet. Zero
chance. He's too old school for that.
He is way too old school. Zero. Anything that would take away from the discussion of preparation for his team, zero chance.
He's not giving his players an opportunity to be asked about uniforms.
Now, what would be interesting is, just say we have a super freak. Just say you have an absolute Derrick Henry in the state of Georgia. You have a Trevor Lawrence in the state of Georgia. And he walks into Kirby's office and he goes, Coach, if you let us wear those white uniforms while I'm here, I'll commit. Then he's going to have his hands full.
The ultimate conundrum for Kirby.
Then he's going to have his hands full. Because he's going to be like, all right, you know we play UMass in 2 years. And that kid's going to be like, no, Coach, we're going to wear these in an SEC game. We want to wear these as a team. It's going to be, you know, and he's going to give you that. Well, if you're worried about uniforms, this ain't the place for you. But that would be interesting.
Chances Alabama bounces back.
I think they're going to be pretty good, man. But man,
I mean, there's so much on Kalen.
Ty Simpson. You get Ron Grubbs. He's got his guy. Okay, he's got his guy. They got all these players back. Your second year, you've dealt with the Nick Saban, you know, over your shoulder.
Right.
And credit to Nick Saban. He was not around that program much at all. Gave the guy space. You go 9-4. Now you come out and you got a new quarterback, Ty Simpson, who, you know, you don't know a lot about. You're going on the road to Athens, got some early games. You lose to Vanderbilt last year. If this guy goes 10-3 and loses to Auburn, whew.
Be a rough year.
Be a rough year. I
mean, that game's at Jordan Hare this year.
Yeah, it's at Jordan Hare.
But three of the first 4 weeks, at Florida State, they get UL Monroe, home for Wisconsin, and at Georgia. Those are your first four.
Yeah.
Three of those first four are not easy cupcake games. I mean, are we better in college football now that we don't waste the first month on teams that we don't care about?
Yeah.
I guarantee you coaches will tell you we're not, but fans will tell you we are.
And Georgia fans, a lot of people don't. You know what we're better at? And I thought about this week, Mark. We're August 18th. We're going into this season, and there's probably 10 teams that can win it. Legit. Last year, it was Ohio State and everybody else, and they still almost screwed it up. Ohio State was the alpha team last year.
Right.
Right now, Ohio State was.
And by losing to Michigan, it cost them.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know, and losing to Oregon and Michigan, they would have been out 2 years ago. They would have made the playoffs.
Yeah. God, I missed those days already.
And they got hot. Well, it is what it is. But you think about it, I don't think there's an alpha team. There's so many question marks. Ohio State, new quarterback. Alabama, new quarterback. Georgia, new quarterback. Texas, new quarterback. I don't care who it is.
Yep.
New quarterback. Michigan, new quarterback.
Yep.
You know, there's so many questions around college football, but it's great because you really don't know who's gonna come. And it truly could be who's the healthiest in December and who gets hot. It's like the NFL playoffs. Who gets hot at the end?
If you had to pick the one coach who hasn't gotten over the hump to get over the hump, at least to go, let's just call it get to the Final Four of the college football playoff.
Who hasn't won it?
Yeah. Is James Franklin back there again?
Oh, man, I think he's a hell of a coach, man. I don't know they have the top 40 players that takes. You got to have a little bit of depth.
They don't have the quarterback.
They're starting 20. Yeah, he's a statue too now.
They still don't have.
Yeah.
I mean, when was Kerry Collins the last elite level Penn State quarterback, for crying out loud?
Well, I mean, people are on Drew Aller now. I mean,
okay.
But here's the problem: when he has to move his feet, he's in trouble. But if you allow him to stand tall, which he can against a lot of those Big Ten teams, you put him against South Carolina and you have that dude come off the edge, and we'll see if those feet can move enough to make plays. I would think the pressure is way on Lincoln Riley because they have spent a you-know-what ton of money. They have spent a you-know-what ton of money.
That's a good point.
I mean, like, dude, you got the number one class in the country. You have all this momentum every June and July. But what are you going to have in November when nobody's at your game? Nobody's at the Coliseum. Everybody's watching the Lakers.
Right. And then, you know, the other part of that, too, and not that any of these coaches necessarily signed up for this, you got to win those trips east.
Yeah.
These Pac-12 teams that are now Big Ten and Big E, SEC,
correct.
When they come west – when they come east, I mean,
yeah,
it's great when the teams that have to go out to Washington that have never been out there, right, and have never played up there, that it's difficult for them. But the games you come east, you've got to win because that's what preparation and coaching is really all about. All right, coming up next, we'll get to some Rusty Rocks. Plus, who will have a better year next year at quarterback? You ready for this? We'll answer this question. Michael Penix or Bryce Young?
Oof.
We'll discuss it next. It's the Steakhouse here on Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929thegame.com and the Odyssey app.